And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you. Air went out, and all those shadows there filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things with you. Do bad things with you. I wanna do real bad things with you.
You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Let's get you up on there. Which... Do they have the mic?
I'm calling in. I'm calling in.
You calling in?
It's a scooter. Yeah, look.
Scooter.
I just passed the lagoon.
Yes.
There was a sunken ship in the lagoon, right? So, and I went up, called the hill to the mine shaft, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in the mine shaft, I followed the rails down. Just like some alligators and shit.
Oh, yeah, some rails.
Alligators. Well, the rails for, yeah.
Oh, those rails. Oh,
those
okay.
Rails. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I sniffed them out. Sniffed some rails and some alligators there.
Uh-huh.
A couple of hallucinations here and there, and I see the big fire flag on the door, and whoa.
You're here.
Dude, what's up, man? Wow. This is cool, Pirate's Cove.
You're in the Pirate's Cove.
Oh, man.
That's right.
This is great. They can't even shoot at you here.
Actually,
like,
we're
like
the
Pacifica.
It's more of a pirate's crotch, but you
pirate's
know, I mean,
crotch.
I mean, I don't know. Well, they haven't cleaned up around here in a while. It's a mess.
It doesn't look bad.
It's not too bad.
It looks better than my room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's not taking on water like other pirate ships.
Oh.
So what are you doing here in Santa Cruz? You come to visit us, or what's the
that's
deal?
That's the only reason I came.
Just to visit?
Well, I was passing through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. I'm taking a whirlwind tour. I started at Lake Berryessa. With some fams, you know, doing some fam stuff. And then came down through Oakland, San Francisco, Santa Cruz, and then down to Los Angeles for the Atheist Convention.
Atheist Convention.
Yeah, they're always fun. So Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher and P.Z. Myers and all those guys will be down there. So
wow.
So go down there and try to get some interviews.
What kind of religion is that?
It's not a religion.
Oh.
It's like, we read your material and we're not buying it. So that's not really a religion. Not buying it is really not a belief system.
So the Christians come and, like, you know, pour salt on the trees or something to make them die and pray? And...
No, not at this. But it's Los Angeles, so it's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And last time we were there, we met on the Queen Mary, and we were supposed to have Harishi Ali. I don't know if you know who she is, but she was a young woman in Somali and raised in a real harsh Islamic, you know, craziness environment. And then she kind of escaped with her dad, got to Egypt, and then ended up in Amsterdam, Denmark, right?
Yeah.
Is that where it is? Yeah.
And
she ran for office in her community for women's rights, and women were allowed to vote there, and they voted her ass in.
Wow.
So she became on the city council, I believe, in Amsterdam. So the clerics and all that, they got pissed off and they shot and stabbed her, tried to kill her.
Wow.
So she came to the United States and kind of, you know, to get away from these people. I guess she got like an amnesty thing. So she came in, became a citizen. And then when these asshole, I mean, these, what did I say to her?
On this station? Yeah, asshole. These, let me. Yeah, I think you can. Yes. It is a pirate radio station.
So when these people,
let me double check our policies though. It may have changed.
It's on the back of this paper plate under the cigarette butt.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's not a cigarette butt.
Oh no.
So anyway, so the Los Angeles people the Queen Mary is run by Los Angeles, right? The city of Los Angeles.
I was there. I broke into the Queen Mary once.
Did you?
I mean, I didn't break into it. I just kind of like got in and spent a lot of money that I didn't have and
right.
left.
Right. Well, so anyway, that's where the convention was last year. And she was supposed to be there. She was like the headliner.
Uh-huh.
And at the last minute, the Los Angeles, whoever's in charge, they go, whoa, we can't put her on here. Some terrorists will come and blow up our little boat, you know? And they wouldn't let her come on.
What?
Yeah. So much for freedom of speech in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
What a bunch of punks.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, they should have told her a long time ago, but we planned the whole thing around that.
Wow.
So we had to have like a, you know, a webcam thing going on. It's not the same.
Oh, okay. It isn't the same.
Julia Sweeney was there. You know, she does that Letting Go of God CD. It's really, really funny.
Huh.
Yeah, pick it up.
Letting Go of God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not sure you get a copy, but all you folks out there, if you see it in your CD store, it's just great storytelling.
Yeah.
She used to be on Saturday Night Live and all that. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She's great storytelling. It's very, very, very funny. About how she went through every gosh darn religion there is.
Uh-huh.
You know, for like 20 or 30 years or something. She tells all these stories about how she come and go, well, this doesn't make any sense. And then goes to the next one. I guess she's some sort of a truth addict or something.
Really?
And so, you know, if you're a truth addict, eventually you end up an atheist. Her funniest one. She goes to. She becomes a Buddhist, you know. But we're talking about Monterey Bay Buddhist,
right? Yeah, right.
Not like that, yeah. So they said, "Well, why don't you come to India, like where the real Buddha's at?"
Uh-huh.
So she goes there and works at a children's hospital, you know.
Yeah.
And this kid is born that's just like horribly deformed. You know, like got weight, you know, extra arms. It's all gnarled up. But it's alive and it's living. And she just went, oh my God, that's terrible. And the nurse said, yeah, that kid must have done something really bad in the last life to end up like that. So she said, you know, I think this Richard Geary Buddhism is a little cleaned up for these people over here. You know, because it was a little different over there. So it's a lot of funny stories like that.
So were you raised as a born again?
I was raised, not born again. No, this was before
Catholic.
It wasn't really born again when I come from the original thing that the born again came from. I never heard that word until, you know, 30 years ago or something.
70s, I think it started.
Okay, yeah. Well, my people, like on my mom's side, are all from like Springfield, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Springfield, Missouri is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
The very, very first religious radio stations there.
Yeah.
There's a seminary there for people who do, what do you call that stuff? It starts with an E. It's not
cemetery,
like,
you mean. I'm sorry. Seminary. You're right.
Seminary. I went to seminary school. That's sad.
Wow.
Yeah, so what did they call it? Evangelist. Yeah,
okay.
Old-style evangelist, you know. Barnstorming, Kansas style. Well, that's the center of that is actually Springfield, Missouri. And that's where her people are from. So she brought that in. You know, I met them all when I was real little. You know, they were hardcore. But they were friendly, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so she tried to bring me up on that. And I bought it for a little while because I'm reading it. I'm going to Sunday school and all this stuff. But it was like, you know, even if you get a taste of comic book science fiction and stuff like that, you start to look for bad holes in plots.
Right.
You know? And I'm reading this Bible stuff, and these poor teenagers are trying to teach it to us about the Tower of Babel and the Noah's Ark and the, what's some of the other ones? I mean, they don't make any sense. You go, well, there's no way this can happen.
Yeah, where were the dinosaurs on Noah's Ark?
An 8-year-old can figure out that this is impossible. You can't put every animal in a boat, you know?
Yeah. Why didn't the tigers eat the fucking lambs and the, you know,
obvious,
all that kind
right?
of stuff?
But the Tower of Babel, that was the one that nailed it for me. They were trying to build a tower to heaven. I mean, you can't build a tower to heaven. You know, why would God have to stop you from building a tower to heaven? That stuck me, and I said, man, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You know what that one meant? What that one's about?
Yeah.
Everybody heard. And he goes, no, you speak French. You you speak German.
Exactly.
You speak,
yeah, right. Yeah, different languages.
Yeah, so he broke them all up. Ooh, subversive God.
Ah.
So anyway, at 8 years old, I said, oh, man, this is bullshit. So my dad, he wasn't into going to church either, so I kind of sided with him, you know. But that's when I stopped believing. But I would, you know, kind of go along with it. I didn't think it was that important.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think it was that important until Bush was in office, to tell you the truth. You
really?
Know? Yeah, until all this crazy right-wing loony. I mean, that's actually started a while ago, you know, that moral majority and religious right. But I never paid it much mind until they really got a hold of power. Look what happened.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. They still have a lot of power.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. It's crazy.
So now I see atheism and you know, at least trying to plant doubt in people's minds as being valuable.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, coming out of the closet or whatever. Not that that's, you know, any big deal. Especially in Santa Cruz.
Hey, we're talking to Scooter here.
Hey, man. We're live in the cave.
In the armpit. The crotch. The pirate crotch here at Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. You want to take any calls?
Yeah, definitely.
Anybody want to ask Scooter
a question? Yeah, I'm totally
unprepared. We are in the Inner Side radio program, which we air between 1:30 and 2, and we're about to enter into Pop Defect, which we're going to continue this conversation, because I haven't got a new show ready to go. So what else is new? And neither do you.
I have no show at all.
So feel free to call in, ask Scooter a question. 427-3772 is the number here in the studio. 831 area code 427-FRSC here in Santa Cruz. Scooter is live. This is a piece of free radio history right here.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a piece. There should be a photographer in here.
Piece. Bob is
Where's
a
the
piece.
Sentinel?
Bob is a piece of history, of radio history.
Yeah, a piece of
Marconi,
something.
Lou Hill, and Skidmark Pod.
Anyway, so you're in town beating up Christians, is that right?
No, I don't know. I can't say that. Do you have any arguments
with Christians? Like
absolutely.
You're trying to do your laundry, and then they come in. Mostly, what is it? Jehovah's Witnesses come in there.
They're not too obnoxious, though.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to be salesmen.
Yeah,
so they're
not
really trying to argue.
They're not trying to get the souls for... It's like the soul thing with the born-again Christians, I found out. It's more like a competition for who gets the most souls.
That's right.
You know? And it's like they put these little souls on their little notch on their belt. And it's like, well, Jesus, you know, I'm going to be really happy with me if I get these souls.
And the institution that they support, too.
That's true.
It's very much a social thing, you know?
Don't you think?
I think that's how they capture people, you know, because people are reaching out for something to be a part of, you know, with other people.
Well, I think this whole economic crisis would be alleviated if these churches started paying taxes.
That, yeah. And that,
what do you think about that?
Or going to war.
Churches going to war?
What are they? Yeah, no, us going to war.
Oh, yeah.
But what was it? A religion is a cult with an army.
Yeah. That's right. That's the army of God, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, that would help. That would help. Especially the Catholics. Good God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they just build buildings out of gold and stuff, you know?
Well, Catholics are more of this kind of robotic, because I was brought up Catholic originally. And, you go into the church and you put your hand in this water that everybody else does. And it's supposed to be holy water, right? But there's all this, like, skin flake shit in this water. And you're supposed to put it on your forehead and da-da-da-da-da. And then you eat this piece of cardboard and you sit down. But if you're using birth control, you can't eat the cardboard.
Get out. It makes you birth because you get pregnant?
Well, even if you're using the rhythm method. No, it's like...
You can do that.
Something in the church. It's not in the Bible, of course, but it's something in the Catholic Church. You know, you use any kind of birth control.
You're evil.
You're not evil. You can't eat the cardboard, you know, and that's what everybody lives for, is to eat the cardboard, which is I guess Jesus was made out of cardboard.
Jesus stinks. Yeah. it's a totally cannibalistic religion. Come on down and drink my blood and eat my flesh.
All right.
That is the one thing that I did do, though. That did get me yelled at by people, but it was just over the internet, so I don't care.
Yeah,
I did the video with eating. I was pretending to be Bill Donahue's the crazy
Catholic
uh-huh.
League guy.
Oh, you know, okay.
Right wing nut. Bill O'Reilly's buddy.
Oh, I don't know.
So anyway, they had a big fight with PZ Meyer and all this stuff was going on. So I did a video of me screaming about how not to desecrate the host.
It must be on
while
YouTube
while I was desecrating
somewhere.
The host. Yeah. It's the only thing I ever did that's got, that doesn't have like a ferret in it or the kids running around. Or all my YouTube stuff is like your family. But yeah. And I got a lot of hits, but a lot of people yelled at me.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you get flack from Inner Side? From KPFT at all?
No, because I'm worse. I'm worse on the radio than I was in that. In that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just silly. That was silly. Well, let me see. Where is it that if you're around your computers, go to YouTube and you look for the. It's called the YouTube Eucharist Challenge.
Uh huh.
And people took it up. That FSM dude, he did 44 desecrations. I had him on about 3 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Canada.
Uh-huh.
And he did a whole bunch of them. You know, shooting them with 22, running them over the lawnmower, hitting them with a nail gun, smoking them in a bong.
Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. Pardon the pun.
FSM, dude. That stands, of course, for, you know what that stands for, right?
No.
Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yeah. Yes. That's probably the only true religion, that and the Church of the Subgenius.
Church of the Subgenius is the true religion. Praise Bob.
Yes. Praise Bob. Praise Bob. Praise Bob. We're praising Bob here. Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. You can call in if you want. Talk to Scooter. Ask some questions if you want. 427-3772, 831-427-FRSC. Yes, the phone lines are working, as far as I know. So, give us a call if you want. Otherwise, we'll continue on babbling here.
Yeah, sure.
So we
could play something off the web too whenever we get. Whenever
what do you want to play? Anything?
No, we'll figure it out. I got a bunch of stuff on my webpage and stuff. Just it goes.
Well, I got that one finger thing. Did I see the light going? Or am I tripping? Aha! We do have a call.
All right.
Should we just throw them on? Huh?
Yeah.
Let's just throw them on the line here. Caller, are you on the air?
Oh, hi there.
How you doing? You're on the line with Scooter and Skidmark Bob?
Yeah, well, I have a question for Scooter.
Hi.
Ever since you met Helpo Huey...
Right.
He's completely turned his back on Bob, and he will not let us smoke his soul in a Bob pipe.
Well, the thing is, no, he... Him and... oh, God, what's his name? God, I can't remember his name. The guy that runs it now. Stang. They've had a long going kind of rag confrontation and stuff like that. So, but you know, I think it was right around the time we met. But I don't think I had a lot to do with it. I think he drops in and out. But for some reason, when we used to all be on the list together, and those two would really go at it. But especially Huey.
I mean, Huey has such a big and smelly soul, and we really
absolutely.
Miss smoking it because it gets us really, really low. And we can feel really bad about ourselves.
It's
and then
that Arkansas vibe.
We have plenty of reasons to hate everyone else. And without the hate that we can get from smoking Huey's soul, I just don't.
Smoking any part of him, actually.
Well.
We could cut him into wafers and desecrate him.
That would be great.
That would be.
Yeah.
He'd love that. That's the problem. He'd love
it. Yeah, I know. He'd like it. That's the problem.
Loaves and wafers.
Well, I got a message from him right before I left, and he said he's got two CDs of stuff that he's almost done with that he's fixing to send me, so we're hearing a lot from him.
Well, that's good.
And he's twisted. You know, in his spare time, he's, like, addicted to... synthesizers and
yeah, I know. Yeah. And you know, he's down to only sending me 6 emails a day, and
that's
know,
right.
I can't live with that.
That's right. That and his crazy women that chase after him. Thor, he has groupies.
Well, all right.
Laundromat groupies. They follow him home from the laundromat.
That was my question. And
no, I think it's unrelated. It really is because actually, I wouldn't say that Stang's a friend of mine, but we're certainly friendly. I've had him on the show and stuff.
Well,
and
he's one of my best friends. But then again, you know, what can you do with a friend like Stang? You know, he has no money, he has no job.
Well, he has a princess. He has a princess.
He does have a princess, yeah. You know, and he has been in this very room from which I'm speaking.
And he's wow. Like,
where is that room anyway? Are you in Santa Cruz?
Oh, yes. I'm okay. in Santa Cruz.
Wow. Stang was here?
That means Bob down was the hill, here. Over the way, across the water, back across the water, under the floor, and right here.
Is this where you guys assaulted Bob and drowned him in the river, then threw him in the ocean?
He jumped.
He jumped?
Yeah. He jumped.
And how many mushrooms were you on at the time?
No, that's Thrinobulox.
Just one big one.
No, it's how do you say that? I can't say the word.
Habafrop Zipulox?
Yes.
Yeah.
Too many consonants for me.
You know, there's a huge, huge pile of, there's a haystack of Habafrop Zipulox.
Yeah. It's in my compost pile.
30 feet south of here, there's a huge compost stack. And we use the ghosts of normals to go.
Right.
To feed the frop.
Just make a compost heap on top of the cemetery. And catch the ether of the rotting normal souls.
Yeah, well, you know, it's rotting the way they're best. You know, if you sugar them, and then you pee on them, and then you bury them for 6 months, you dump them in your neighbor's front porch.
But then they'll be fermented, so you drink them, right?
Here.
Drinking rotted normal schnapps.
That's what we get here in Santa Cruz.
Zombie girls won't drink rotted souls anymore. You know, they want fresh souls.
Ain't like it used to be.
No.
You'd sell it for anything.
So, well, nice talking to you. I told Huey I would give you a call because I'm here and he's not.
Well, awesome.
What do you call yourself?
My name's Dr. Gary Brogue Fran.
Okay.
You can find me many places in the Church of the Subgenius. And
praise Bob.
Praise Bob. Yeah. And
I noticed that a lot of, I saw a lot of little videos that were filmed in Santa Cruz.
You've
Santa
probably
Cruz.
Heard of the really? Band that dare not speak its name.
Uh-huh.
Palmer Vries and
right.
Puzzling Evidence.
They're fellow Pacifica guys.
Yeah. Well, I did the Pacifica thing with Puzzling Evidence for many years. And Dr. Hal, we're old friends from the
Dr. 70s. Hal is fantastic.
Yes, he's a...
I am in awe of that human.
Praise Bob.
He's a really funny guy.
He has evolved beyond us, and yet, you know, he hangs. And I respect that.
Yeah, and if you ever met his dad or his brother...
He is his
dad.
You
wouldn't be amazed.
Oh, really?
They're three of a kind, yes.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yes.
Well, they were three of a kind, because he's the only one left.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The brother was a very, very good guy.
Hal seems eternal.
Well, you know, that's what some people say, but to me he seems repetitive, but wonderful.
And does things over and over again.
Yeah, he does things over and over.
And he's repetitive.
But the worst thing is he does the same things over and over.
Oh, he does? Oh.
Yeah, you know, if he was doing something different with every iteration. Anyway, they do have a wonderful radio show in Berkeley. And,
yeah.
And when I lived there, I did that show hundreds of times.
Great.
And
I listened to it hundreds of times.
Yeah, well, I still listen to it now and then, when they allow it in this sector.
Right. Well, you know, they were a big inspiration for me, listening to them and the Negative Land guys.
Oh, yeah,
and
Mark.
And plus, you know, they had the old Fireside Theater stuff. But it was really those guys that I'd listen to them. And after you listen to those guys, you realize there's no rules at all.
Don Joyce
there
and
Over
There's
no
the
rules
edge.
At all. I mean, it's just the limits of your imagination as far as the stuff does not have to, you know, follow a linear path, that, you know. So they were a very big influence on...
Negative Land and Over the Edge was Don.
Right.
Don.
I met those guys.
Still on KPFA.
Yeah, they were all Negative Land was in town, I guess, last year.
Thursday
I
nights,
saw them
I
live. And they're live in Houston.
Thursday nights on KPFA. Yeah. Every other Thursday or something.
Yeah.
Did you get to talk to them?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah. I did.
Yeah, I've done some performing with them off and on over the years. They're cute.
It was interesting. They were all playing things that I didn't know what any of them were, except for Don. And Don was putting carts in a cart machine.
Yeah.
I recognized.
He's the only guy in the world with a cart machine left.
Oh, yeah, we got a cart somewhere around here.
You would.
We lost it. I don't know. Somebody.
I was the first person at a Pacifica radio station to bring a computer in and put it on the radio, believe it or not. I think. Huh. Although those guys might have done it first.
Wow.
But it was a little black and white Macintosh, and it had to.
You had to break up your bit into like 15 of those 3.5 discs and load them all onto the computer. It took about 15 minutes, you know?
Oh, my God.
Just to play a 3-minute piece.
Oh, my God.
So that,
for
the
MP3, right?
No, this is way before MP3s. Yeah. Way before MP3.
Before MP1 and 2?
No, that was before them even.
MP-4, I think.
But yeah, there was all there was like real audio, but that wasn't great.
Oh yeah, plus you had still isn't great.
Yeah,
it
and,
still sucks.
But I don't know, it made him all the compressors you had to play it in. But everything we were doing was 8-bit, and that, so it sounded like you're yelling all the time. It sounded like AM radio.
Uh huh. Yeah. Uh huh.
But all that Caitlin and Daddy stuff was done in 8-bit.
Yeah. Well, it was good to talk to you. I should all let right. you go so that someone else can call you up and complain and give you. A hearty.
Okay. All right. Good
night.
Thank you for calling. All right. See, that could be you, or that could be that guy.
So that's it's Axel Gettner.
Yes, that we have two Gettners. We have another line 469-3119. If 427-3772 is full, but folks should call right now 427-3772. And yeah, we get that nice clear signal. We tried to hook up one of those Radio Shack shitty ones where you got to talk through the phone.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
They're just
horrible.
Totally unpredictable. They're okay, you know, if you're doing like an interview that you're going to play later,
yeah.
You can make them work, but not you can't make them.
Uh-uh.
Work.
Oh, that's true. If you get just the caller talking, yeah, you're okay. But you, it's like forget it.
Even the Gettner's all locked up, you know. It was explained to me how those things worked, and you know, I'm still recovering from trying to figure that out.
I think he plugs it in through a distribution amplifier. So do not turn off. Uncle Dennis has all the stuff on here. I don't know how he hooks it up, but yeah. It works. Thank you, Uncle
Dennis.
We're
not going to touch it.
No.
We promise.
No, we don't touch.
I do not have my toolkit.
Or do not turn it off. distribution amps. Although there's one thing that's unplugged that I can't figure out what it goes to. Our duck comes in here on Fridays and plugs a bunch of stuff in, and he forgot to plug this one in, but I don't know what it goes to. So far, so good.
Sounds good. We're on the air because
somebody
called. Good.
I think we're on the air. All right. Yes, we're back on. that was the... Ring Radio 101. FM, yes. Our power went out. On that power strip, because I threw the thing down and it turned the power strip off, but we're still...
I guess we're on the air.
On the air. Yeah. Still going. Hold on a second. Let's see.
I hear the generator down the... Down. See?
I hear the generator down.
See?
There you are. Wow, you guys have a delay and everything?
Look at that. Yes, we do.
Cool.
No, that's not a delay. That was your spirit talking to Santa Cruz, because that's how we do it here. We're very... ambient here in the Santa Cruz area.
I don't know
area.
Why I have this on, because the radio is not very visual. But
that's pretty cool, though. That comes in handy, I'm sure. Yeah. He you were in action. Like, as soon as that power went out, you grabbed that flashlight. You were on it.
Well, I needed it when I was walking up the mine shaft.
That's true. Don't tell anybody about the mine
shaft. There's a bunch of them there. And besides, they wouldn't. Those guys would not get past the alligators.
That's true.
I brought some rats for them.
Well, there's those
kids. Throw them some rats.
Kids digging out the coal for the diamonds, and that's how we fund the station. But we don't want to.
That's
get
for
into
the generator.
That's
it
exactly.
Just went out. Hey,
exactly.
Get back to work.
Yeah, hurry up.
Jeez, they want. They're like trying to break to have food or something. Happens all the time.
We're with Scooter here in the studio, Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. Feel free to give him a call if you want to ask a question. 427-3772, 831-427-3772. I'll try not to hit the power cord again. Just that light that went out, and then we all freaked out, and the board went out, too. Where'd the board go out? I don't know if the board got. The recording's still going. The computer's on.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's good. We still are on the air. See, I know what I'm doing. I've been doing this 15 years, and now I kind of got a handle on it. Sort of. Kind of. We're also listening to Mike Patton in the background here off the Crank 2 soundtrack. So what's going on in Houston? What's going on with KPFT? Give us some dirt. Give us some dirt.
Well, it's always a struggle. There's always a power struggle. And people, there's a lot of dirty fighters. And then there's people who are trying to, like, just make things better for everybody. It's you know, and then there's people playing dirty pool and backroom politics. And, but what they recently did, which I was basically in agreement with, is that there's always been a struggle there between music and public affairs.
You're right.
Because when it was taken over by the bad guys, you know, they took all the public affairs off. I just made a music station out of it.
Wait. Who are the bad guys? See, I'm not. I don't know who.
Well, there was a struggle back in the '90s, and essentially what happened is a group of very, you know, powerful political people, not standard political, but you know, people in Washington. It was just kind of centered in Washington, but it kind of came out of KPFA too. They kind of got this idea that if you could clean this up a little bit. You know, we could get some underwriting from the Pew Charitable Trust and, you know, basically get some money to operate this thing.
Right.
So that, you know, we weren't always just struggling. And so that's how it started. And then it went on, and we became part of what was called the Healthy Station Project, which came out of CPB, which wrecked a bunch of community radio stations.
Really?
Yeah, and what they did was, this is kind of interesting stuff. We can go into this. Okay, what they did was... they, you know, these the little community radio stations that sprung up all over the country from Lorenzo Milam's model, the guy that wrote Sex and the Art of Broadcasting. He was originally with KPFA with Lou Hill.
Uh-huh.
Lou Hill was still
there. Yeah, I remember Lou Hill.
Yeah. And so he goes way back to that was the beginning of listener-sponsored community radio. And so he decided, well, I'm going to take this model. I'm going to go to Washington and really give these guys hell, man. We'll let these legislators. And he was from a very rich family. So he went out there with all his money, and he's a very smart guy, and with a stack of law books. He knows more about the FCC than the FCC does, and went through all that stuff and kept applying and kept applying and kept applying. And they kept turning him down and turning him down because they knew what he was up to, you know. And they didn't want, like, WBAI or KPFA sound and radio in D.C. Come on.
Right.
I mean, that's how you get people to jump ship. You know? You want those people in line and, you know, not, well, do people die when they sign this? Uh-huh. I mean, you don't want people thinking that, you know. Especially since women run Washington, right? The guys take all the credit, but it's basically their staff is mostly women. Uh-huh. And they're easy to reach, you know. When you can explain to them that children die, you know.
Uh-huh.
Over this stuff, that, you know, stuff ends up in the trash can. You know, you get your little fifth waiver. It's called a conscience, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they were afraid of, rightly so. So he spent, I think, 5 or 6 years out there, and finally, a guy from like the Senate, you know, because a lot of people liked him. You know, he just sat him down in the cafeteria and said, "Look, they're not going to let you do this. No matter, if you could apply until the cows come home, they'll just keep changing the laws. They're not going to let you do it." And it finally dawned on him that there was actually a conspiracy against him.
Yeah.
So he went to, now I'm a little fuzzy on this, but he went to as far away as you can get from D.C., which I believe is Portland, and he founded, was it KPU? Man, I get these stations all mixed up.
Right.
But he founded
KPU. There is a KPU.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's K-Mud. The one. No, KMUD, that's in like Pot Mendocino.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, as far as, so he founded that. And that was, and his idea of a community radio station was much more along the free speech model than what Pacifica was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he'd like put the John Birchers on and let them talk. And, he'd, you know, anybody want to come on and run their mouth, no matter how crazy, he'd do that. And he you know, kind of controlled the station. There was no board or anything. He ran it, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jeffrey Landsman came along, you know. Well, they had been partners for a long time. Jeremy Landsman is the engineer who can, you know, well, you just kind of pull this thing a little bit and hook it up to that and put a resistor here. Bam, you're on the air, you know. And so he's a mad radio genius.
Yeah.
So so people would come along and say, no, you got to run the station like this. We need to do this. We need to do that, you know. And he'd tell him, not Landsman, but the other guy, anyway. He would just say, look, There were licenses everywhere.
Yeah.
It was like every high school and every college had these licenses. Nobody was using them.
Uh-huh.
And he knew the FCC, and he knew all that stuff. He had all the maps for all the, because he knew the FCC better than the FCC.
Yeah.
So he'd say, well, listen here, you know, we're not really going to change this station, but why don't you go start a station, you know? So he'd give him Jeremy Landsman, and they'd give him some money, and he'd get him a license.
Yeah.
I said, get down there and set your own station up. And that was called the Crab. Oh, that's Crab. That's what he started. Crab.
Uh-huh.
K-R-A-B. Right.
Uh-huh.
And that, and so he created community radio stations all over the place. That was called the Crab Nebula.
Right.
And that's when community radio in earnest really started, because the Pacifica network is, that's big city radio. That mm-hmm. big signals, big city. This is small town community radio where farm reports, things like that, just people's radio. And then he wrote a book, okay, here's how you do it. And then it just started springing up everywhere. So most of the community radio stations that you hear across the country were either sponsored or people, or was people who read that book.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, so community radio was born flourishing, you know, and it was like real free speech, right? So the CPB and all these people, well, they don't, you know, they're looking for places to put their little NPR crap and stuff, you know. So they would offer these people that, it's usually one manager, he might get part-time pay, and
yeah.
a bunch of volunteers.
Yeah.
So they're offered, look, we'll give you a satellite, uh-huh. and you could get all things glossed over nightly. And or you can get this and you can get that and all these wonderful shows that we produce. And we'll give you the satellite dish for free. For free.
Uh-huh.
And you can subscribe and we'll give it to you for nothing. But you're going to have to, you know, show some raising listenership, and you're going to have 6 paid employees. So they turn these community radio stations into an NPR network. And into what we consider being like the public radio model.
Right.
So they crushed community radio and hijacked community radio stations all over the place, you know, and to make them more palatable. And they say, yeah, we'll fund you. You know, they just bribed them, you know.
Wow.
People didn't see it coming. But once it was in, you couldn't get rid of it. So they were really successful. So they came after Pacific in a big way. And they got these real lawyers, a bunch of lawyers and stuff like that, and they came in and they used the board to elect their friends onto the board, because it was, the bylaws weren't written very well, so you could just expand the board as big as you want and just self-appoint people until all of the Pacifica type people are outvoted, you know. And then they started like trying to NPRize it, you know. And the big holdouts, of course, were New York and KPFA. But I mean, KPFA was off the air for like a month, and you know, remember when they had
the Dennis Bernstein got torn out of the studio.
Yeah, and you know, thousands of people were on the streets.
Right,
and they
started Berkeley Liberation Radio too during that time.
Okay, it's all tied together, you know.
Yeah,
and it was all the latest movement was a reaction against that.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And some of it was rolled back, not a lot of it. I mean, we didn't get back to where we were, but what they did to the Houston station was, the guy that was running it, he would just like. Like, we'd be on the air doing public affairs, right? And I'd be doing a little Caitlin Dadding, a little comedy bits and stuff like that. And I'd be part of different shows, you know. And Otis brought me on the air.
Yeah.
15 or 16 years ago. And I immediately began to learn how to do the digital mixing when it was brand new.
Uh-huh.
So I had a head start on everybody.
Uh-huh.
And so all of a sudden, these shows would just keep disappearing, you know. Every quarter, 3 shows would disappear. They were always public affairs shows. Then they'd put on this, like, country music show. So that began this music versus public affairs tension that still exists today. Because there's people in there doing music shows that don't like what happened when we started putting information back on there. I mean, they took Amy Goodman off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Took Amy Goodman off the air.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're running like some kind of crap from the World. You ever hear the World News? Well, you wouldn't want to.
No.
It's bad. But, you know, it's all mushy, you know, all pro-Israel.
Well, there must have been some kind of uprising after Amy Goodman got taken off.
Yeah, that was a big
listeners.
Deal.
I mean, they
deal.
Were probably
but they had already
out.
Crushed KPFT. I mean, there was almost nothing left of it. There was 5 hours of locally produced public affairs, and the music DJs were given playlists. They could play one elective an hour.
And then they're volunteering to do this stuff.
Fuck. It's like Clear Channel without the computer doing all the work.
And so that's what happened to K-15. So that's why there's still kind of a music versus news and information. Because a lot of these old guys, they thought that old country music station 24 hours a day was the greatest thing that ever happened to Houston. Although I don't understand why. Because, I mean, sitting around spinning records all the time, I mean, I like to do that. I love music. But
well, there's a
I like
station
to know what's going on
locally here called K-Pig, and they play a lot of more country, but like alternative country, and you know they're commercially owned and operated. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't listen to them that much. My brother listens to them all the time, and he doesn't live here. He listens to them online and stuff.
Are they like the old K-Fat sort of?
Yeah, actually, but they like
people
changed over.
Still talk about that radio station.
Yeah, yeah, you
know?
Yeah, yeah.
People
yeah.
that are my age, oh, yeah. K-Fat, you know, yeah. great. But they had the Sex Pistols on, right?
Yeah,
isn't that K-Fat?
I guess so.
They had
I
them
don't
on
know.
For
I
a live I... interview. They only live interview with the Sex Pistols.
Uh huh.
And I think they were playing around here somewhere. It's real funny. There's recordings of it floating around. You should play it because I can't play it.
I don't know. I should send like, me a link. I don't know that. I don't know the history of K-Fat.
No,
really
no, just
don't,
the, you know the Sex Pistols. Though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know the Sex Pistols.
It's the funniest thing you ever heard. Yeah.
Wow.
And people are calling up and they're going, "Yeah, because we want to rip your clothes off and fuck you, you bitch." Yeah. You know, just being totally filthy. You know? Uh-huh. They're just being totally Sex Pistols. You know, it was their only radio interview in the United States ever.
Wow.
You know?
Wow,
and it's really funny. You guys should find it and play it.
We should.
If I bleeped it, there'd be nothing left of it. Just
yeah.
I'll see if I can find it.
We don't have to do that here. We can say all those wonderful words, which we have over 15 years. I mean, yeah, you can. Now we're trying to like artfully put them in there, but some people don't. Some people get drunk on the mic and leave their cans of Budweiser everywhere. You know, it's a wonderful place. Here at Free Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. Scooter here in the studio.
From Houston.
From Houston. And the inner side, please give us a call, 427-3772, 831-427-FRSC. If you'd like to talk to Scooter, please do.
Yeah, I heard that, you know, when they took, what was it? You were talking about Berkeley Liberation Radio?
Yeah.
They
It was
they kept...
formerly the folks from Free Radio Berkeley.
Right, there was a bunch of. Well, it still kind of exists in its lineage, and up there, George is it Amp?
Ooh, huh?
He's on this station too. He writes me now and then about what's going on at that station up there.
Oh, okay.
You know, they have a station up there.
Oh, Captain Fred?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah. His email is AMP something or
AMPB. Yeah, it's Captain Fred. He does the World Cruise,
right?
Which will play Mondays afternoon here. And he does Saturday nights, from what I understand, at Berkeley Liberation Radio. He's one of the folks left over from Free Radio Berkeley, who originally started as, what, Dunifer up in the hills with a little transmitter trying to hide out from the FCC, which they actually tried to hunt him down one night.
He was trying to say that since there was no... there was no prohibition against having a 100 watt or less station, which is true. So he kept trying to take him to court, but when he lost, he kind of lost everything. They screwed him.
Oh, you
know?
Really?
Yeah, they you know they made sure that he could never have a job in radio, and he could you know. But
well,
I
remember
think-
that the in the when we came on the air, Berkeley Lib. I'm sorry, Free Radio Berkeley. They actually had a full studio in the Berkeley area. It wasn't very far from People's Park. I actually did a show there. That was shortly after we started, 95, 96, probably. But they were already established and going, and were used to the FCC visits. Because it's like the FCC, I remember when I was a kid, and you'd get those little 14-channel walkie-talkies or whatever.
Yeah, 3 watts.
If you cussed on it, you thought the FCC would be there like cops, you know? Like cops seeing you drinking on the sidewalk or something. Like the FCC would... and they'd arrest you, and then we found out later, it's like, well, no, it's not how it works, you know? They're not all present like Big Brother. It takes them a while to do their, you know, surveillance of
us. Yeah, they are, and they will tell you that, they're a complaint-driven.
Right,
They don't
exactly.
not come out and look for people. They don't care.
Have you ever tried to complain to them, calling their number?
No.
There's a series of, I tried to do it one time.
You were getting walked on? You were getting walked on?
Yeah, those goddamn Air One fucking Christians speak of fucking
oh,
stations. Yeah, it's what is it? Air One broadcast. They're like this full on. It's all connected to like the Calvary Chapels and all these other Christian.
Right. Yeah, they got repeaters everywhere.
And they put up a repeater here in Santa Cruz. Well, no, on Fremont Peak, from what I understand, with a translator or a directional antenna pointed at, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, Santa Cruz. And it took out a bunch of our broadcasts. And, you know, you kind of got to wonder who, like, pointed them in that direction to do something like that. Because we're at 96.3, and then they broadcast.
Well, you know what they got? They got money.
Yeah.
That's how they keep buying up them little signals.
Yeah.
And whenever these LPFM things come up, you know, if people that are trying to start community radio stations, like.
Oh, yeah. There's no room.
No, they'll that's who you're competing against, and they got money.
And they take that room up, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're allowed, what, they're 10-watt translator stations? So they're under 100-watt.
More than that, aren't they?
Some of them are, they're low power. They're basically low power stations, and they take over the spectrum away from, you know, anybody may want to illegal low power FM station.
Do you know what the problem with that is? Is that there's a lot of really mean people out there, you know, that don't like Jesus. And there's things that they can do, you know, that are very subversive, and I'm glad that they don't do them. Like, they could do, like, those satellite signals that come to feed these repeaters are very weak signals. They're like a 20th of a watt, right?
Huh.
So all you would need is, like, a 4-watt little transmitter right next to their repeater.
Huh.
And you just have to figure out how it's being encoded, and then you could put George Carlin and Richard Pryor on there until they have completely fucked and shitted and pissed and recorded it, report them to the FCC, and they will lose their license. You know, and that's what's wrong with that kind of thing, because horrible people could do things
they
like that.
They could do that, you know.
Because people, you know, are very savvy. And, you know, you could do all that on a Radio Shack.
I know. There's people out there that can do things like that. I know there is. I mean, I personally, I don't have the knowledge to do it. I could barely, you know, fucking screw some plywood in a wall, which I had to do yesterday for a while. But anyway, tune to Free Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Got Scooter in the studio here.
Give us a call if you want.
Give us a call.
What's the number?
427-3772.
427, that was, right?
Yes.
I walked on the phone number.
That's 831 area code.
Yeah.
427-FRSC. Please give us a call. I should really take a piss break right now.
I'll go for it.
Stay tuned.
This is a good tune.
Freak Radio.
Push, try to keep us all down and hold that we.